there aren't enough foster homes here in Washington. That's why some kids are taken in or adopted by families who live in other states. A recent investigation by the New York Times tells the story of three Washington boys with special needs who were taken in by a foster parent in New York. Now the boys and others are accusing that foster parent of sexual abuse. Connie Lambert-Eckel heads field operations for child welfare in Washington state. She told KUOW's Kim Malcolm why foster kids are sent out of state in the first place.
In some instances, our foster families actually move after they've had a long-term relationship with a child in foster care in Washington. It can be that a child is placed with a relative out of state. It can be a child who needs treatment services in a specialized program out of state. And certainly related to this conversation are very high needs children who, for whom we have not been able to secure legal and emotional permanency, adoption, or guardianship within this state, who have very significant behavioral, mental health, or other concerns in terms of their development that have precluded them and us finding a permanent option for them here.
In this particular case, the New York man who took in these children from Washington is now awaiting trial on charges of sexual abuse. Washington social workers were aware that he was being investigated, and yet they continued to pursue the process of trying to place one of these kids. Why?
Well, part of it is a really deep understanding when you work in public child welfare that allegations in foster homes, while not, you know, an everyday matter, do occur. In many instances, those allegations are unfounded. In this case, we were aware that an investigation was underway. We were waiting to hear from New York State about what the circumstances were around those investigations. We certainly had not yet made a placement when this was going on, but we were definitely continuing to pursue in the event that the findings did not manifest. I would suggest to you that it's not common at all. This is an incredibly unfortunate, very, very ugly set of circumstances. We are disappointed, and as you identified, the private contractor in New York State that was responsible for checking on these kids and assessing these kids did indeed let us down. It's, again, a very tragic and unfortunate set of circumstances. We become more wizened by these experiences and really do continue to exert pressure on receiving states about their responsibilities to help us keep our children safe.
What safeguards are there in place to make sure that our kids who are placed in out-of-state homes are safe?
Well, Kim, it's a very good question. We rely on other states, just like other states rely on us through our agreements, our contracts with them, to make sure that children are safe in those states. We need to trust that they're making good decisions on behalf of our children. We don't have a lot of opportunity or ability to do this work to assess the safety and well-being of children out of state. So we rely on them to find the right people, to do the work that we need them to do, to check on our children, and to let us know how they're doing.
Going forward, do you think some policy changes are in order when you're considering out-of-state adoptions in future?
I think what we will do is be much more critical about the relationship, the contract, the business agreement that we have with the receiving state in terms of who indeed is conducting the visits for the children, who is checking on them, and what is their history, what is their reliability, what is their experience, and does the receiving state have high confidence so that in turn we can have high confidence.
Do you feel that there's another level of security checks that could be in place that you think would be appropriate in these out-of-state cases?
I think something that I expect of my social workers now that I would like to see continue is while we want a receiving state to conduct health and safety visits for us, to really do that regular monitoring, I think it's also very critical that our assigned social workers make contact with the children and youth that are on their caseload that are in out-of-state placement so that there is regular phone communication. We have modern technology in terms of FaceTime and Skype and other mechanisms by which the child can have direct contact with their social workers. So my need is that a child who is in out-of-state placement is not out of your mind.
Is that level of contact between the Washington state social worker and the child who's been placed out-of-state, is that mandated right now?
So this is an additional step that isn't necessarily mandated in policy, but it is absolutely best social work practice.
With KUOW's Kim Malcolm, that's Connie Lambert-Eckel. She's the Director of Field Operations for Washington's Department of Social and Health Services.